Seder. Okay, so last week we talked about Birchas HaShachar. Tonight we're going to speak a little bit about Korbanos.
Oh, Korbanos, though we're doing Ketoret.
Well, it's part of it. Okay. We'll do a little bit of all the parts. Okay. There's nothing wrong. Ketoros is part of the set of Korbanos. Ketoros is one of the sections. We could just start by first noticing that there is a section of Korbanos in Tefillah. Okay, it's one of the sections that's not always noticed and not always said by many people. Just the fact that we notice that it's there in davening is already one step, you know, of significance. The question is why is Korbanos in davening in the first place? And this you probably can guess. You may know the answer already. You can just guess what it's doing there.
The place of the Korban. When they lost the Beit HaMikdash, didn't have Korban anymore, we started doing it.
Good. So that's definitely true. Davening definitely takes the place of the Korban, of the Korbanos in some sense. Okay, and that's one of the opinions in the Gemara that says that the reason why we daven is Shmona Esrei specifically is connected Korbanos. It corresponds to the idea of Korbanos. Now, there's an additional level as well, which many of the Achronim point out, and that is that in addition to Shmona Esrei possibly, you know, corresponding to Korbanos, there is an idea as well that when you recite the sections of Korbanos, of the Korbanos that used to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, in a certain sense, it's as if you brought them as well. Okay, so I mean, not just the actual tefillah in general, but specifically saying the Korbanos gives you an extra, you know, malel of a kasuv. It's treated as if you actually brought the Korbanos as well, which obviously we can't bring them today.
So
that's a very important idea.
It says in Ketoret, Lecheni Hiru Samach Lecha V'Nei Lecha.
So if you look at your right, so all in the Siddur, for all the sections of Korbanos, it says
Ilu
he krav
no.
It says every single one. Okay, it says every single one. I can read to you while we're doing that. So this there's a famous Gemara. So he brings down here in the Olas, the Sefer Olas Talmud, which we started looking at last week. Again, I would love to figure out a way to send it to you before. I just never remember. But, so basically, so the Gemara in Tanis he brings down here is that Avraham Avinu said to Hashem, okay. Hashem said to him, "Oh, the korbanos will help to, you know, get atonement for Bnei Yisrael when they sin." So Avram says to him, "Well, what happens when there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore? What's going to be with them?" So he says, "Oh, kfar tikanti lam seder korbanos. I already instituted for them; they should recite the seder korbanos. And if they recite it, so then, you know, I will treat it as if they actually brought the korbanos as well, and I'll forgive them for all their sins." Okay, that's the idea there. He brings that afterwards a very interesting passage in the Zohar that there's a very special mila to saying the korbanos and shul, you know, during our time without the Beis HaMikdash, that they say here that anybody who says it in shul, it'll be the malachim that usually in Shemayim that usually tell us that our sins, all the bad things we do, they won't be able to harm you anymore. They'll be able to do only good things to you.
Is that okay? The one at the beginning, or is that the one at the end that we say?
This is talking. I think this is talking about the whole section of korbanos in general, not any of the specific ones. You know, just in general.
I'm talking about like after in Kodesh, you know.
So that's also, because we'll have to mention that afterwards. Basically, what we're talking about now is the section of Korbanos before Sukkot Zimra. Okay, meaning after Birchas HaShachar. Last week we mentioned Birchas HaShachar. And after that, so not every part of the Siddur after that, most of the parts of the Siddur after that before Sukkot Zimra are about Korbanos. Okay. The part at the very end of davening of Pitu Maktor is a sort of a slight repeat and, you know, a little bit different, but basically more or less the same thing. As we said at the beginning, but we say it again after davening, at least here in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, maybe we'll see at some point why that is, perhaps. Anyway, so he brings down here also a little bit more about that idea that's very important to say the korbanos, because it's an opportunity for us to treat as if we brought the korbanos and get, you know, many of the korbanos served as kapara, as atonement for sins that we've done. So this is a good opportunity to do that. Okay, so that's why, as you pointed out, Jonathan, so all the sections of Korbanos, it says for all of them, there's a little paragraph after each one, which basically says that I should treat what I said as if I brought the Korban itself. The first one, after the Korban Tomid, which we'll look in a second, it says, that says, as if Shetei Avnir Azu Chashuva Umekubelet Uresol Afanecha should be accepted in front of you and satisfying to you, as if I brought the Korban Tamid at the right time, in the right place, and with all the halachic requirements. That's for the Korban Tamid. Then for the Ketores, and the other one afterward. Anyway, that's part of the idea here. So before we look at the sections inside, which we'll spend a few minutes doing that, but I just want to give a little bit of halachic background first. What is the halachic status and basis for saying korbanos? So we just gave some of the ideas behind it. But in terms of where it comes from, so the Gemara never actually says directly, say this section and say that section and say that section. It seems that at the times of the Gaonim, which is pretty early, the times of the Gaonim, they already instituted many sections of the korbanos. Now, it's sort of important for some of us to know, well, you know, do you have to say every single section of the korbanos, or maybe only some of them? Are there some that are more important than others? And the reason why that's important is because, you know, when you look at the reality that almost nobody's sitting there saying korbanos, because if you are, then you have to get the shul 15 minutes early, which is, by the way, what I try to do. And I can't say I'm always successful, and I cannot say, I have to admit, I don't say every single section of the korbanos myself. I really should, but it's just a limit to how, you know, it's hard. And that's part one of the downsides of, unfortunately, you know, starting davening with you know, Hodu or Mizmor Shir and Rabbi Shmuel Omer, if you really want to say Korbanos and Mirchos HaShachar properly, you have to get there at least 10 minutes early, and really 15 to 20 minutes early. It's hard, you know. Let's say, for example, at the Minyan, let's say I go to the 6:45 Minyan, for example. I guess you guys go to the 6 o'clock Minyan. I guess, you know, is the shul even open if you get there 20 minutes early? Are the lights even on? You know, what can you do? What are you going to do? Maybe they are. I don't know. I'm just saying. Yeah. Sometimes it's made in such a way which it's hard to do that. You can't do it. If you're at the 6:45 minyan in the Merkazi, for example, you get the 20 minutes early, you're stuck sitting through half of the 6 o'clock minyan. You know, so it's very hard to concentrate when they're saying, you know, Birkas Kohanim, when they're saying Kaddish, you know, every other minute is another Kaddish. Like, yeah. It's very, and there's the whole question whether you're supposed to enter the Kaddish. Like, it's a little tricky. You know, so it's a shame that's part of the, you know, works out that way. That's why I like the Nates minyan, because the Nates minyan, you know, you can stay afterwards. You have another guest. You know, the Nates minyan is nice because you can get there half an hour early, the lights are on, there's plenty of space, there's no davening yet. They down slowly, there's plenty of time, you know, it's nice. But that's basically that's part of the story with why korbanos is difficult to do, but at the same time it's supposed to be very rewarding. And also very important to just try to figure out, are there some sections, if you're only going to say some of the sections, right, which sections are more than the others?
So which one does the Siddur always start with? Ketoret? Is that always the first one? Or is
okay,
that...
so I guess we will do it this way. I don't think we'll have time to read through all of them now, which we really should, because that's actually part of the idea here. Some of the posts in the Mishnah Berurah brings this down, actually. He says that really part of the idea here is not just to read them, but you're actually supposed to learn them and understand what you're saying. Okay. Which, again, unfortunately, we could do, if you want to continue this again next week, we could do more next week.
I'm open to that.
Or we can go to Psukah de Zimra.
No,
but it's here somewhere. Exactly where it is here in the Mishnah Berurah. But basically, that's what he points out. He says that it's very important to understand what you're saying. Maybe we'll find it later. Anyway, so for now, let's just get at least a bit of a structure of the korbanos before we look at which sections are more important and less important, and that's probably all I'll have time for tonight. Take a look for a second and just get a sense of what's here. Okay. Right after Birchas HaShachar, so we have a different section, which is a section called the Akedah. Okay, I wasn't planning on talking about it tonight, but it's here. I'll mention it very briefly. Okay, where we basically go through the whole parsha of the Akedah in the Torah. You see where that is? Do you want a sitter? Do you have another sitter? Okay. Again, right after the section of Birchas HaShachar and Chasidim Tovim, there's a whole section of the Akedah. Again, the section where Avram brings Yitzchak out of the Korban, and then obviously he's told to stop by the Malach, and you know, he takes the ram and puts it inside. So again, this is obviously important, because here through this section we're asking Hashem to basically have mercy on us the same way that in the merit of the fact that that Avram Avinu was willing to offer up his son, basically that's the last paragraph there, where it basically says that we want your mercy to overcome your midas hadin in that merit. So that's very interesting. That's not korbanos, but it actually is mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch as well. Again, I have to admit, I am not one to say the Akedah every day. I used to at some point, and then I just couldn't keep it up. It was just too hard. So that already the Shulchan Aruch says, this is in, if you want to take a look at Siman Aleph. Okay, there's two sections in the Shulchan Aruch where they talk about korbanos and related things. One is in Siman Aleph, the very first Siman in the Shulchan Aruch, and the rest of it is in Siman Mem, I think it's Mem Ches. We'll get to it in a minute. So in Siman Aleph, if you look at Siman Aleph Sif Hei, So he says here, Tov Lomar Parshas HaKeda. Okay, it's good to say the Parshas HaKeda, which is good. That's for our sake, that's good. It means that you're not obligated to do it. It's not that you're a bad person if you didn't say it. And it's good to say the Parshas HaKeda. Basically, Mishnah Berurah points out in Sivkat and Yigimel, he just says that it's not good enough to just like say it, but you have to think about it and thank Hashem for everything amazing that he's done for us, and you know, etc., etc. That's basically, he says that the idea of the Akedah is to remember, though, as we mentioned before, the Zchus Avos, the Zchus of Avram Avinu, that Hashem should help us. And the same way that Avram Avinu was able to quash his Yetzer Hara and offer Yitzchak, so that we should be able to get rid of our Yetzer Hara, etc., etc. So that's the Akedah. Again, it's nice to say if you have time, but it's not an obligation of any form. The Shulchan here mentions a few other things also, which we're not going to get into now. Parshas Haman, which is another interesting thing. Some people have the cost of this. I do try to say the Shlah was very big on that. The Parshas Haman is actually after davening, not before. Though there were some that said it before as well. And some of the Siddurim, I think the Gros Siddur, they have it before. Most of the Siddurim have it at the end of davening. And their idea is, of course, that if you say Parshas Haman, B'nai Yisrael got the man in the Midbar. So that's a sort of a school that Hashem will give you your parnasa. The Shlah used to say that anybody who says Parshas Haman every day, he'll be assured that he will never have a problem of having enough to, have food to eat every single day. That's a nice thing to say. Also, again, not an obligation, but a nice idea to say. They mentioned also here about Aseres HaDibros, saying 10 commandments every day. That's not quite as accepted as the other ones is, and we're not going to get into that now, how that works. And then he mentions a few other things, like reading the Parsha of the Ola, and the Mincha, and the Shlomim, and the Chatzis, and the Ashen. Okay, this we actually do not do. Some people do. But it's here, the Shulchan Aruch also has a nice thing to say, basically, to read through the Parshas in the Torah that describe the offering of the Korban Ola, and the Mincha, and the Shlomim, and a few of those different things. So again, it's a nice idea, but again, that's not nearly as accepted in terms of what we do today. The korbanos that we say in davening are actually not this. Some of the Siddurim do have this as well, but it doesn't seem to be the most important thing. Okay, again, we're not going to go into exactly how that works now. I'm trying to stick to the main ones. Okay, so now, basically, that's the first thing, the Akedah. All right, we just saw. Then the next thing is where it says Lolam Yehi Adam. Okay, versions to be Yirei Shemayim. Okay, this whole thing. There's a whole tefillah here. About what are we going to say? Mana Mechayenu Machasdenu. This is also mentioned as like a nice thing to say. And some of the Sfarim say this is very important. Again, this is not part of the Korbanos, and it's not necessarily an obligation. Again, nice idea to say here. What is important is the last section after, at the very end of Shema. Because some people have the custom to say the Shema, the first paragraph of Shema, at this point every day. And that's not my custom, and that's not what many people do, but there is some, there's such a custom out there that you can say the Shema at the very end of this paragraph here. If you're going to miss the Zman Kriya Shema for whatever reason, then this is very important to say at the beginning of davening, so in case you miss it later. So you said it now, that's already brought down the Ramah, which we're not going to read inside. Anyway, so this paragraph is very nice, but again, it's not, the most important obligation, so it's not, the first one that I would say that you should spend your time on. Well, you have them if you, in most situations, if you don't have time for it. After this, so then there's another paragraph or two that are along the same lines, which we're going to skip for now. And then after that is when the korbanos actually start. Okay? The first korban of the first section is about the kiyor. All right, if you take a look there, where it says, for the section of the korbanos, the rational shalim, more of sisa, kiyor nechoshes. Okay? So that basically, the first paragraph is about the kiyor. All right? The laver. The reason there, of course, is that that's what they used to use to wash their hands and feet. The Kohen used to wash their hands and feet when they began their avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. That's the first one. Okay. The second one, second paragraph, that is the Trumas Hadeshin. Okay, taking away, removing the ashes from the Mizbeach, from the overnight burning of whatever leftover the Kohanis overnight. And that, of course, also took place very early in the morning in the Hamikdash, which is why it's at the beginning of our Kohanis section. Okay. That's the second paragraph, Trumas Hadeshin. The third paragraph is the Korban Tamid. Okay, this is where it says Tavas Bnei Yisrael Yomatalvayim Yos Korban Ilach Mila Yishai, the Korban Tamid, which is offered every day, both in the morning and in the afternoon. So this paragraph is about the Korban Tamid. Okay, that's paragraph number three here. Four, after that comes the section of the Ketoros. Again, we start off with a little paragraph that says that how should our forefathers offer the Ketoros to you during the time of the Yisimikdash. And then we have the section of Vayomar Hashem Moshak Kach Lecha Samim. Okay, those are obviously the Psukim in the Torah, where it describes that we're supposed to offer the Ketoros and what the Ketoros is made out of. And then after that, where the section where it starts is Tana Rabbanan. Okay, that's a Gemara. Okay, that's in Gemara in Krisus and in the Yerushalmi. And there it gives you a little bit more details about exactly what the Ketores was composed of and how much of each thing, and etc., etc. Okay, that's the next section of the Korbanos. Sorry, the Ketores. Okay, again, the incense that was offered. And then you have a few more paragraphs about the Ketores, Rav Shmuel Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Nassan Omer, and Bar Kapara. All those address different different detailed aspects of making the Ketores and how to grind it, and etc., etc. Okay, we're not going to go into that right now. If we have time at the end, we'll do it. If not, we won't.
Ask two questions, or you want to keep them going?
Maybe let's keep going. I just wanted to give this, my point of the introduction here is just to give you a sense of the different paragraphs and then try to figure out halachically which ones are the more important ones. Okay, if it's about the content of the paragraph, maybe we'll leave it till afterwards, either tonight or if you want to go over it again next week. Okay, then after that, then we have the this thing where you say three times, Hashem Tzvakos, Iman Mizgalan, Ukev Sela, Hashem Tzvakos, Hashem Tzvakos, Hashem Moshiach, Melech Enev Yom Kareinu. Each pasuk comes three times. That's actually based on the Talmud Yerushalmi. Now, the Yerushalmi is the one who says that you're it's like a special thing if you say them three times, and you know, it's an important ideal. The Arizal also says that that they're apparently related somehow to the Ketores, which we'll have to see what the Ketores is about and try to understand why that's related. The next section is about called Abai Hav Masadr Seder of Ma'aracha. Okay, this is also based on the Gemara. Here, basically, this is basically Abai gives us the order of different daily activities in the Beis Hamikdash in the morning. Okay, all the things are in here basically about cleaning out the fire and getting setting up the wood for the next day, and again cleaning the altar for the ashes and the korban tamid and the setting of the candles, the neros, etc., etc. These are all again the daily activities that took place every day in the Beis Hamikdash. So Abai basically tells us the order of the order of how they were done. Okay, very nice. After that, we have Anu B'Koach, which is, again, a special, slightly more on the Kabbalistic side type of tefillah, which has to do with saving us from Golos. Okay, after we talk about the Korbanos, we have this idea of saving us from Golos. That's what we have here. Then we have the Ribon Ho'olamim, which is basically saying that we, you know, you commanded us to bring all these Korbanos, including the Korban Tamid and all the other ones, and we can't do it now because the temple is destroyed, etc., etc., etc. So please treat our Korbanos as if, you know, we actually offered the Korban Tamid itself instead. Okay, that's that paragraph. And then we have the last two paragraphs. Sorry, before that, you have the sections about for Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, Uviyom HaShabbos and Uvrashei Chachem, which basically are mentioned as sections that are special korbanos that we brought of the Musaf on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. So on those days, we put that here also. And then we have Ezu Mekoman. Okay, Ezu Mekoman is Mishnayos from Zvachim, okay, chapter 5 of the Zvachim. And it gives you all the details of all the different kinds of korbanos, where they're slaughtered, you know, what you did with the blood, and etc., etc., stuff like that. Okay, so that's Ezu Mekoman. And then, at the very end, the last paragraph, which we are familiar with, is Rabbi Yishmael Omer, okay, which is from the introduction to the Sifra, from the Medrash, and basically deals with the 13 mitos of how the Torah is interpreted homiletically. According to Chazal, these are the ways to make like a halachic drasha. These are all the 13 principles that are used. Kal Chomer, you may be familiar with, a fortiori, Gzera Shava, you know, other derivations. That's Rabbi Yishmael Omer. So the question is, which of these are the most important, and what is the purpose of all of them? Okay. So.
Good question.
What?
Yeah. Nisach Sfaradi, Nisach Ashkenazi, Nisach Sfaradi. Kind of all the same.
It's more or less the same, yeah. Maybe minor differences, but it's pretty much basic. In terms of what we're discussing, it's pretty much the same.
There's some difference in Ketorah.
What is that?
There's some differences in Ketorah.
Not for this section of davening. At the end of davening,
in
maybe
the cloth,
yes.
I've seen it.
Right. That's not a question of. That's not as much. But you're right. Meaning that part, they use the cloth. I don't think they use it in the first part of davening. They use it at the end of davening. And at the end of davening, there is a bit of a difference between Nisach Sfar and Nisach Ashkenaz. At this point of davening, whatever is printed in the Sidurim is more or less pretty much the same thing for everybody. Okay, I guess maybe some minor differences, but it's pretty much the same.
The one who uses a cloth is not saying the beginning part, they're saying the ending part?
No, they're saying the whole thing, probably.
Hmm.
Being that for Nisach Ashkenaz, they leave out certain sections that we say in the morning before Pesukah Dezimra. When you say at the end of davening, some of the sections are left out. Hmm. And for Nisach Sfaradi to Mizrach, I think they put in the whole thing. Okay, and for now, though, everything is here at the beginning of the morning, the first part before davening, everything is pretty much there. Question: which of these are the most important? If you're trying to assess the obligation, is there an obligation here? Which ones are the more important, less important? You have any thoughts, any suggestions, any guesses? Just, Okay, so I guess I'll just tell you.
I mean, there's a Seder in the Beis Hamikdash, so why not keep the same Seder?
Right, the question is, meaning, I guess the main question now is which one is, the, you know, if we're coming in with the assumption that we're not going to be able to say all of them, which ones are the ones that are really important and which ones are the ones that are not so important? And I'll add in together with that another question, which seems to be very practical for me almost every single day, which is that if you, not only that you don't have enough time for some of them, but the question is, let's say if you're going to have to skip parts of davening, meaning, let's say that if you said all the korbanos, you wouldn't have enough time for psukah d'zimra. Is there any situation? Is there any parts of the korbanos where it's more important to say those korbanos than even to say all the parts of psukah d'zimra? Which, again, we don't know psukah d'zimra yet, but that's a question. Okay, be aware of that. It's not so simple. You might think, well, of course we should always say psukah d'zimra, and even if you can't say any korbanos, just drop it. That's what I would say also, but apparently it's not so simple. Okay, there are many poskim that say that there may be certain sections of korbanos which actually take precedence over psukah d'zimra.
Wow.
Okay. There's a famous sheet of Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the Rishonim on Brachos, Rav Shechter, from why he likes to quote this a lot. Most Poskim do not quote this lahalacha, but Rabbeinu Yonah actually seems to say that really the korbanos is probably more important than psukah d'zimra in certain senses. And maybe you should actually use docha. If you only have enough time for one, you better say the korbanos than all the parts of psukah d'zimra. Something along those lines. Again, it's not clear that we really pass in that way, but that's, you know, just understand that the korbanos is actually a pretty important thing. So the question is, again, if we have to evaluate which ones are the more important or less important ones. So, if you look here, we can get a good sense from the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah about which ones are, if you, there's a priority list, we can get a good sense of what the priority is. So you look in the Ramah, you have Mishnah right there. You have one, if you want to share it. Simon Memches, okay?
Memches?
Yeah, Simon Memches. Simon Aleph is one set place where it comes up, and Simon Memches is the other one. So right now, we'll look at Simon Memches. Sif Aleph, right at the very beginning. Simon Memches.
Memches.
Yeah.
Memches is Hamid.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the Ramah talking. The Ramah is already giving us an introduction, which again is based on already the time of the Gaonim. This is pretty early. He says, "V'omrim Parshas Atamid." Okay. We say Parshas Atamid. That already gives you a sense. Yeah, that means you're supposed to say it. Okay. It's not just okay. It's very nice. Do it when you feel like it. Like yes, yeah, you should say it. Okay, are you obligated to say it? Are you not obligated to say it? It's not so clear.
Okay, but which one is it? Where is this?
This is the Parshas Hatavit. That's the one of Tzavas B'nei Yishol V'Martali and his Korbani Lachmi. That's basically, I think, is paragraph number 3. Right before the Ksoros. Right before the Ksoros. Yeah, I can't see there. Oh, yeah, right there somewhere. Yeah, you have the same thing as I do. Yeah, in this area that you happen to be looking at, it's page 42.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's very important. We say the Korban Tumim. It's not so clear that it's an absolute obligation, but many of the Achronim say that even if it's not an absolute obligation, it's like close to an obligation. It's pretty important. Okay, why is that? Because the Korban Tumim took place every single day in the Beis Hamikdash, and you know it seems like that was a very important Korban that was upon the entire seaboard to bring. The Mishnah Berurah says here in Sif Katan Aleph. So this is where he mentions this idea that. We said before that if you're somebody who's learning, who's going through the parshios, it's as if he brought the korban. Then he says, in the middle there, he says, "Venerally pasher demishio deas sefer." Somebody who knows how to learn, mitzvah lilmod begemara perish amim razu. Okay, you should actually learn the explanation of all the different things. Okay, and the same thing for the ketores and the other parts of davening. He says it's very important to actually understand what you're saying, which we're doing a little bit here, but not extensively enough. Anyway, so that's the story. Okay, so basically, the korban tumim we see is sort of important again because that was the communal offering that was offered every day. And then he adds in the yesh omrim seder hamaracha ribono olam tzatzi v'sanu. Again, some people say to say the seder hamaracha. That's the abayik part. The abayik have omer, the whole order of things in the seder. Some people say you should say that. And the ribono olam is the paragraph afterwards. That's again the part before Yezu Makomon, at the end of the section of the korbanos. That's what he's talking about. So there you see that section is not nearly as important as the parshas Tumim, because parshas Tumim is clearly you're supposed to say it. And the Seder Hamarach of Abai HaOmer HaMasader. Sorry, that paragraph. That one is not nearly as significant. Okay. And then he says. I would skip the next line because it's not so relevant for us anymore. There was different ways of having to say it back then. They used to say it out loud. What was that?
Where?
Abai Hava Omer is a little later. Again, we're here, just I'm reading what the Ramah says. The Ramah mentions them together. The Abai Hava Omer is this one here. Okay. Abai Hava Sara Seira Maracha, the order of the things in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So that's that. And then, basically, okay, if you go back to Siman Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch, so in Siman Aleph, he also says, Siman Aleph Sif Tes, he mentions the first part of the section of the Korbanos where he says, Yesh Noagin, Lomar Parshas Akior Ve'achakach Parshas Trumas Hadesh. And some people have the custom to say the first section of the paragraph of Parshas Akior, the first one of the Korbanos section, and then after the Trumas Hadesh, those again, the first two paragraphs of the Korbanos section. Okay? And then he says Parshas Tavit. He mentions Parshas Tavit here also. Ve'achakach Parshas Mizbeach Miktar HaKtoris. Then he mentions the Ketores. And then he mentions the Salmoni HaKtoris, which again, those are all the sections of the Ketores that I mentioned before. Okay. So basically, here also, it's interesting that he quotes it here as being a Yesh Noagin, that some people have the custom of saying it. Again, it's based on earlier sources like, you know, the Rishonim, but it seems that it's not, you know, when you're dealing with priorities, it's not as much of a priority. Okay, if you have to list the priorities. Basically, what comes out from this is that, again, he puts the Parshas Talmud here also, which is interesting, but all the rest of them also he mentions in this category. So basically, so far we would say that that the Parshas Talmud is probably the most important, okay, because on Siman Memches, he mentions that as saying that you're supposed to say it. And all the rest of the ones that we have so far, which are the first two paragraphs of the Korbanos, which I mentioned before, again, the Asisa Kiyor Nechoshes, and the second paragraph of the Deshen, Tzavis Aromas Ben Avlein Mor, Zos Torah Sa'olah. Okay, those two paragraphs are, you know, lesser importance. And then afterwards, all the stuff about the Ketores also is important, but it's lesser importance. Okay. What about, and then we mentioned already the Abai Hava Masader, so that we said also is lesser. Some people say that, not so important. What about Ezu Makoman? So Ezu Makoman, if you look at Siman Nun, so Ezu Makoman seems as very important. Okay, Siman Nun, the Shulchan Aruch. He quotes the Gaon. And he basically says here, it says, Kavu Lishnos Achar Parshas HaTamid Perek Ezu Makoman, Uvraisa Rabbi Yishmal. Okay, he says, they established, meaning Chazal or the Gaonim at least, okay, they established that one should say Ezu Makoman and the Brice of Rabbi Yishmal. Okay, meaning it seems like those, like that's a real thing. Okay, that's not just some people have a custom of saying, that's like an established thing that you're really supposed to do. Okay.
Ezu Makoman?
Yeah. Yeah, that's again the fifth parak of Mishnayos and Zvachim. And the paragraph right after is a very small Omer, which we all know. So he says, those are, they established to say those. Why? If you look at the next line of Shulchan Aruch, Kadesh Yizke Kol Adam, Lamo B'choyo Mikra Mishnah U'Gemara. The very star of Yishmael, Havim Makom Gemara Shah, Midrash Kemara. It's not what you would think. The Korbanos section is not only because it's about Korbanos. It's interesting. There is a special thing in the Gemara, a different Gemara, where it says that a person should make sure to learn every single day a little bit of Chumash, a little bit of Mishnah, and a little bit of Gemara. So, according to the way the Gaon set it up, they apparently set up the Ezu Makoman and the Rabbi Shmuel Omer to be the fulfillment of this thing, that you make sure that every single person will be able to say a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Mishnah, and the Gemara, which Rabbi Shmuel Omer takes the place of the Gemara, every single day. So it's not only just about the fact that it's because it's Korbanos. It's really more about the fact that it was, you know, to make sure you have that balance of learning every day. And it's interesting that it was established. Okay, this is an important thing. It's established that this is what you're supposed to do. So most of the Achronim say, I can't say all of them say this, but most of the Achronim say that if you have a priority of time, okay, and what you can say is, so the most important things to say are the Parshas HaTamid, because I said before, and Ezu Makoman, and Rabbi Shmuel Omer. So I mean, if you only have a couple minutes to say stuff for Korbanos, say the Parshas HaTamid, and then Ezu Makoman and Rabbi Shmuel Omer, which were established as Takanas, even if it's not only for the Korbanos reason that we're saying it. Okay, everything else is also important, but it's a little bit less important. So if you have only a few minutes, you could leave those things out, and maybe if you want, they mentioned earlier, I didn't see it inside, but Mishnah Berurah says that that it's, you're really supposed to say it before davening, but, you know, if you don't have time before davening, you could also say it after davening. Okay, it's not the worst thing in the world if you say the Korbanos after davening if you don't have time before it. Better to say it afterwards than not at all. So that's basically where we left off here. In terms of the Ketores, so even though the Ketores is one of the ones we said here is, you know, yes, some people do say it, some people don't say it. But the fact is that, as we pointed out before, many of the Sfarim say that saying the Torah is very important. Okay, why is that? So you remember what that is? Why is the Torah so special? Meaning, why would you say, even if it's not an obligation to the section of the Torah, it's something which is very special and very worthwhile to say? Remember anything about it?
The mixtures of the spices represent the Yisrael.
Okay, that's true. I don't know if that's the reason why they say it's so important to say it, but you could say that. It makes sense. I didn't see that specifically. It says here.
What stands out in my mind, if you leave off anything, you require death, and that one of the things doesn't even smell nice by itself, but you put it together. So maybe achdus veritas.
Okay, so that's an interesting idea. I thought you were taking that a different direction. The different direction that I was going to say, which is I think what most of the poskim say, is that that the Torah also has the ability to prevent dying. Okay, as we see in the Torah, actually, if you remember the whole story with after in Parshas Korach, where they're all the people are dying at the end of the Parsha, and then Aaron takes the Torah and he goes around with it, and he stands in between the dead and the living, and somehow the Torah has the ability to stop the plague from spreading. So they say based on that the Torah has some sort of special segula that it's able to protect you from harm befalling you. So they say, I think they say based on the Zohar and a few other sources, that if you say the Torah properly, then you'll be you'll be protected. Okay, for that day. In addition, they also associate the Torah and its different spices with Parnassa. Okay, again, so you have to figure out exactly how this works, but basically what they say is that somehow the idea of saying of all the different combination of the spices is beneficial to Parnassa, and if you say the Torah, then also you'll get a special segula that you'll make sure to have Parnassa.
Okay, so now what are you defining as a Ketoros from where to where?
So Ketoros is basically, again, the sections of the first paragraph, which again, that's just saying, this is introduction, it's not the actual Ketoros itself. The main paragraphs are really the next line, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Gede Psukim, Gede Kachal Asurim, and then the second section of Tan Rabban, okay, Pitamak Ketoros Ketzad.
Okay,
and then that is the whole section of the Gemara, I was telling you what to put in. Rav Shulman is the extension
Tanya
of that,
Rabbi,
and then Rav Nassimer is also part of it, it's the extension, it's not the most important part, it's like the additional part, and Tanya Bar Kapara are also the additional parts. That's also all the section of the Torah. Out of those paragraphs, the first two paragraphs are probably the most important. Okay, the Pesukim and the Torah are very important, at least in terms of the Zohar, we said before, and the second paragraph also, the Tanya Rabban, is also very important. So they point out here, I think based on the Zohar and elsewhere, other sources, that the special segula is if you say the Ketoros twice a day. Okay, part of the reason why many people say it, especially here at Israel, we say it twice at the end of davening also. Okay, because they have a special segula of saying it twice.
But you don't start with the Vayomer.
Now, right, so the question is, what part do you say twice? So that's a difference of opinion. So the Sfarim and the Mizrach, they say the whole thing twice. Because Ashkenaz, at least here in Israel, so we say only the middle part of the paragraph where you actually go through what they are. Okay, it's right in the middle of the section of Tanur Abanan. The middle part of that paragraph is the second recitation of Pitu Maktoris. But the idea that you say something twice is, this segula is very important. And in addition, they say as well, that it's important again to enunciate every word carefully, because the Gemara says this is also maybe what you mentioned before. The Gemara says that if you omitted any of the spices from the actual Ketores, then you're chayav misa. That's what we say in the pack. Because if you left one out, you're chayav misa. Yep. So there were some Rishonim that said, well, just the same way, maybe the same way that if you left one out from the actual construction of the Ketores, you're chayav misa. Maybe if you left one out when you're saying them, you're also chayav misa. Maybe not really chayav misa, but in a certain sense.
Right.
So be very careful if you're going to say it. You should say it, but say it carefully and slowly. Don't slur the word. Don't mess it up. That's going to make things worse. So you want to try to make sure that it's done properly. So that's very important. You mentioned here also the Arizal was very into this. That helps to bring you to tshuva to say the section of the Ketores. Very important. So that's basically the story of the Ketores. I'll just tell you, Rav Malamed, not everybody agrees to this, again, this is a bit of a machlokas, but Rav Malamed suggests in Pnei Halacha, so I believe I got this right, he says, and maybe he's not the only one, that if it's a clash between Pesukei Dezimra and Korbanos and what you have time for, so Rav Malamed says, and I think the other person said this also, saw this in the Pesukei Tshuvos, here it was a little different, it's hard to tell this safer, of Tefillah Kelchasa, but basically, the Parashas HaTamid Parshas HaTamid probably is really important to say, even more important than Pesukim than parts of Pesukim Zimra. And Rav Malamed claims that the first section of the Pesukim of Ketores is also important, like that. Maybe not the whole Ketores, but at least the first section of the Pesukim of Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Kavu Chasadim, is so important that that section plus the Parshas HaTamid, those two take precedence over many sections of Pesukim Zimra.
Wow.
So it means if you don't have time for all Pesukim Zimra, again, obviously you've got to say Brach Shamar and Ashrei and Yishtarach. We'll get to that, you know, in the next 2 weeks or so. And maybe the Halukos is really important, we'll have to get to. But the other sections of Pesukim Zimra, which are not quite as critical, he says that the Parshas HaTamid and the Pesukim of the Ketores here take precedence over those. Again, very, very interesting. Again, I'm not sure everybody agrees to that. But the Parshas HaTamid, I think many posts can do. The Ketores, I'm not sure about. I think they have maybe different opinions about it. But again, just to illustrate how important it is, you know, for those who don't take Korbanos at all, you know, you see, you know, practical opinions like this, that it's better to say some of these paragraphs than to say even Pesukim Zimra. That's already a big deal. Okay? So basically, that's our bottom line. Okay, so at least we're going to try to say the Parshas HaTamid, Ezu Mekomen, or Yishmal Omer, and then the Ketores, as we said, also is very, very important. And according to Rav Malamed, the first paragraph of the Pesukim of Vayomer Hashem Moshe, maybe even more important than some Pesukim of Zimra. That's very important. And the rest of it, again, the Gemara of Pitim HaKetores and the other sections of Ketores is also very, very important if you have time. And then the other parts of the other paragraphs of the Korbanos that we have here are Bayahat Masader, and the first two paragraphs of the Kior and whatever. And the Chuma Sadesh, so those are also good to say, but those are not nearly as critical. So those you can, you know, you can get by with that if you don't have time, or if you choose to say the after davening, you can say the after davening, which I do sometimes if I don't have time at the beginning. That's essentially the story of the Korbanos.
Ask one question.
Yeah, sure. You can take questions.
It says Mibnei Shakol Yafel Labzamim. What does that? What does that mean?
Okay, so. Question is, do you want to go through sections of this now? I thought we'd maybe say this for next week.
Okay, well, that's great.
We'll
wait.
Take a few minutes next week to talk about
the
some of the
sound is beneficial for the space.
Yeah, yeah. It seems that somehow that, you know, grinding it up with sound, making sound, somehow makes it grind better. Why that is, it's very hard to understand.
Mm.
We'll see if we can mention that next week.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll do that. We'll spend a few minutes next week talking about
sure.
going through some
sounds
of the
great.
Actual sections here. Not completely, but at least partially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can stop here. I'm happy to stop here. Any other points? Sure. Okay. Say the Korbanos and to be a
Amen, amen. Get the Segula of life in Pranasa.
Yeah, amen.